let's say you might not have the quell. So you mentioned Vicuña last couple of times, but now it's like he's going to have to play for you. What do you expect?
Well, I think, you know, with DeQuell, we're hoping, obviously, that DeQuell can go. He's doing everything he can to be out there. You know, in typical guys playing for the Cleveland Brown fashion, I mean, he's getting rehab 9 times a day. I mean, he wants to play. This guy wants to play. And we're hopeful, you know, and sure that'll come down right to the game time to find out if he can play. And if he can't, we've been working a lot of guys. A lot of guys, you know, that, you know, could be a couple rookies in there. You know, Kaluka, David, I mean, those guys have worked hard. So if they get in there, they're going to have to do a great job and rise up and help us, get a win.
What effect and it can have on a football team when you go through a big event like you did this week with the trade of Braylon and the controversy that led up to it?
Oh, yeah, the trade. Yeah, I was thought you were talking about that missed field goal. Did I say that out loud? Anyway, somebody look at it, you know, research it. I never said anything. But that was disappointing. About the trade, you know, he's an offensive guy, so I can't really talk much about that. I just know, you know, we added a fine defensive player. And Jason and Trusnik, and we're looking to play him right away, you know, give him some snaps early in defense and, you know, see how he does with with his new teammates.
Your brother kind of said that you gave a positive recommendation on Braylon. What did you tell him?
You know, I don't know, you know, talking to my brother, all we were talking about is my dad has, you know, hernia surgery, so maybe he took that as a positive note. You know, I don't know. He's doing well, though. But, you know, obviously with him being the head coach of the Jets and me working here for the Cleveland Browns, you always, if you are talking about, you know, personnel and things like that, it's more to it than just, you know, brother to brother. You know, obviously, you know, I'm employed by the Cleveland Browns and would do nothing to hurt our status and our team you know, so I can't really – I wasn't in a comfortable position to really say anything to him about Braylon Edwards. So, you know, and he was obviously – we all know he's a fine talent.
More animated Eric Mangini than we had seen last week. I know you're big on, you know, slapping guys and, you know, getting them fired up and all. Do you think – first of all, do you think that's important for players to see that? I know guys react to different kinds of –
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you see that animated of an Eric Mangini, say – on the sidelines on Sundays, we see him, and believe me, he's plenty animated. I mean, when he's sitting there yelling at me, he's plenty, animated in his office and things like that. And, you know, Eric wants to win, and, you know, we're all to the point we want to win so bad, and it's just, you know, we're willing to do anything. And you know, that's true emotion, you know, coming out of Eric and really all of us. I mean, hell, the players, the coaches, you guys, everybody. You know, we just, you know, all of Ohio, they want to see the Browns win. They don't care about the Bengals. They want to see Cleveland win. It's our time.
So you think that last week that was more of a reflection on who he is?
Yeah. I mean, I can't study him during the game because I'm, you know, trying to do my job. But I know he's got a lot of pride. He's an emotional guy. And he's obviously, we all know it's well documented how intelligent he is and, you know, what a great leader he is, but shit, he's got a lot of passion and emotion. I mean, that's, you know, I see that every day, you know, and that lip starts quivering, you know, it's like, back up, because he means it, you know, and, you know, he's a great head coach, does a great job.
We're not kidding when you say that was a missed field goal.
I mean, you could let you tape Mary Kay, that'd be great. I'm not saying anything, but, man, maybe the posts were crooked. I don't know.
You guys have a good look at that, obviously, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get fined. I mean, I pay enough money already in a house I don't even live in California. But, I mean, really, I mean, you guys have to look at it. I don't know.
About the just a run defensive, you do not have to quell. You got Jackson and Lynch. How long challenging – they're challenging with him, but
absolutely. No, that's those guys. I mean, getting Lynch back, you know, for them, you know, Jackson does a great job of that. Lynch is really special to me. I think, coach, I believe it's his uncle, Lorenzo Lynch, one of the toughest guys I ever coached, and coached him at safety, led our team in tackles in Arizona. And this guy is just, you know, he runs the ball like he's, you know, a linebacker or a defensive tackle. I mean, he looks people up. You see him even last week, he averaged 0.4 a carry, you know, hitting linebackers, swatting D linemen off him. He doesn't even go down. You know, they have to put new rules in for him. You know, well, he finally stopped. We'll whistle him down. I mean, this guy is a load. And he's been a great back. I mean, he's a tremendous player. So, obviously, whoever you got in there, you know, we're going to have to do a great job on the running game. And, you know, they've got all pro receivers. And, you know, so they've got a lot of weapons. You know, I don't think that's Carson Palmer back there by any stretch.
I'm not trying to get you fined, but when you guys, at the time the field goal was kicked, did you guys immediately contest that, or was it not until you saw the film that you realized that maybe something was amiss?
Yeah, I don't want to make this a big story. I mean, I don't know. I was disappointed. I thought he missed. You know, of course, we gave up the fourth down scramble, and a quarterback's never scrambled in his life, and, you know, throw a touchdown pass and double coverage. So maybe I was seeing a different way. You know, I'm not an expert. Maybe, you know, that's why I'm saying maybe somebody else should look at it. I know one thing, I'm sick of losing.
The run defense on last week was a lot, but you guys did a pretty good job on Cedric Benson, I thought.
No, I thought we did too, and more consistent job. They hit a couple runs on us late. And again, that's guys just trying to jump in there and make a play. You know, I think right now that's the biggest thing we have to watch is, you know, you have to be in your gaps. You have to be accountable to each other and you know, jumping in to try to make the play when it's really not there to make, you know, that becomes a problem. And you constantly have to fight that, especially in a close game when every play is, you know, it means so much. And you know, take yourself out of a gap integrity is always a mistake.
The whole defense overall made huge strides in last week's game.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we played better. You know, I think we played better. And, you know, we're looking, you know, to just keep getting better each week like I think we will, like I know we will. And eventually be a defense that, you know, everybody can count on.
Play better than you did in the second and third quarter. How frustrating is it if the offense isn't producing, or do you just understand some weeks it'll be you, some weeks it'll be them?
I tell you what, I really think it was a combination of our offense doing so well that our guys were getting tons of rest over there. We had time, you know, I mean, tons of time to sit there and talk about any adjustment we had and things like that. So from where I was standing, man, I thought our offense was just doing a great job. I mean, they were out there all day, you know. And I know we went three and out a number of times, you know, against Cincinnati. And, you know, I thought everybody was into the game. And usually you win games like that. And, you know, it was heartbreaking for sure.
Was it a big heartbreak? There seemed like people were jumping up and down on just in that last touchdown drive in the fourth quarter with about 5.5 minutes left. They lost 4 yards on the first two plays, and all of a sudden they convert a third and long by a foot. It seemed like everybody just went, phew. Did you get that feeling or something?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I think, you know, I know they hit that third and long, you know, and there was, you know, obviously you look back, you got to be critical of yourself first. And, you know, there's a couple of things I probably could have called there. I went with a four-man rush thinking we'd get to them, you know, which we did, you know, during the day. But usually that's been a three-man rush type of situation. But, you know, Carson Palmer made the play, and he's going to make the play. He's a great quarterback, and sometimes those great players do make the plays. You know, like Ocho Cinco, you know, made an Eric Wright. I mean, that's as good a coverage as you can have, and he still got the touchdown pass. So, you know, you can't stay perfect against those Pro Bowlers. They're in the Pro Bowl for a reason. And, you know, I don't think so. I think, I mean, we lost, the fourth down. It took 4 downs to get us on the goal line. And the guy had to scramble to do that, you know. And, you know, Cameron needs a whole new jersey, you know, wardrobe after that, you know. But, hey, you know, it came back that there was no holding. Whatever. not bitching about it, just, you know, it's ridiculous. But fourth down, you know, gave up the, you know, guy uncovered, did a great job uncovering and you know, caught the touchdown when we thought we had two guys on him. You know, and that's hard, you know, and then you stop him in overtime and the offense is doing great, you know, scoring points. No one panicked when we were down 14-0. I mean, it was you saw so many great signs, and you know, to lose that game was really just, you know, it's one right.
About your defense getting rest in the second and third quarters, and you know, having a lot of energy, but by the time it gets to the end of the overtime on that scramble play, is that a result of maybe more than anything else just fatigue, guys just out of gas?
No, that wasn't. I mean, really, I know we had, you know, several extra plays in the fourth quarter or the fifth quarter, but no, we weren't tired at all. I mean, we had guys begging to stay in. I mean, Rodgers played 70 some odd plays. He wouldn't let anybody else go in. You know, guys were fighting hard, and you know, the guy, what happened? He just found a little lane in there, and most quarterbacks don't have the guts to pull it down and run on 4th and 11. You know, that guy not only had the guts to tell his head coach, "I want to go for it," but he pulled the ball down and ran and made the play with his feet, you know, bad ankle and all. So, you know, sometimes those great players make great plays, and, you know, standing up here, you know, and with another loss, just, you know, hell, I can't wait to do this when we win.
That improved, that showed as much improvement in against Cincinnati as the secondary, and I'm curious as to, first of all, I want you to speak specifically on Brandon McDonald, because I thought after he didn't start the game, he came in and played a lot better than he had been, and the rest of the secondary as well.
I thought the entire secondary played well, those guys, you know, they're a group that's coming along, they're coming together. Every week there is always some Pro Bowl wide receiver. I mean, this is another group with outstanding receivers this week. And you know, we're counting on Brandon, Mike Adams as well, and Mike Furry. I mean, these are guys that showed up. You know, Eric Wright obviously, you know, leads this group and has played really well. And I thought Brodney Poole really played well and showed some range and some of the things that we were expecting from him.
You're going over the Bills, and you said the guy back there isn't Carson Palmer by any stretch.
Right.
I don't want him. Are you saying he's not as good as Carson Palmer?
Absolutely. He's not. I mean, not too many quarterbacks are. And you know, doesn't mean the guy, best, you know, redeeming qualities, he can run, do some things. But you know, we played Brett Favre. We played Carson Palmer. Those two pretty good quarterbacks right there. And you know, this guy always seems to have a lot to say, so I'm going to say the same thing. Let's go. Let's get it on. See what he's all about this week.
Are you happy with the Furry is working out?
Yeah. No, he's done well. And you know, the thing is, not only is he playing defensive back, I mean, he plays multiple positions back there. So, you know, he's also, they say he plays offense too. So, well, that's pretty good. I mean, this guy loves football, and he does a good job, you know. So he's all over the place.
Terrell Owens, what challenges do you face there?
Well, I mean, this guy obviously is one of the premier receivers in football. Does awesome job, you know. He jumps out at the tape. There's this big, tall guy that can flat out run. Looks like he loves to play. You know, last time in. You know, I saw him up close and personal. I'm like, good God, that's a big guy. And then I saw him and you know, felt great about it after the game. Held him to 9 catches. I'm like, he's pretty good, you know. But, you know, we're going to have our hands full with him, obviously.
One, I believe, is 6'3", one's 6'5". Owens, if I'm not mistaken, I have to look that up. But your cornerbacks are not real tall. And I'm curious, if does that present any particular problems for you?
I think you know, with these gigantic guys that can run and catch and all, you know, they're problems on pretty much anything, even if they're shorter. But you know, the thing is, with the added size, that's also an issue with guys that can jump up in the red zone and get a ball on a jump ball and things like that. You saw Ocho Cinco be able to stretch out like Stretch Armstrong. I mean, he's these guys are these long arm guys are hard to cover. T.O. is a special guy. There's no question.
What do you can maybe impart to your cornerbacks that might give them an advantage in a situation like that, or help them in a situation like that?
I mean, there's only so much you can do, and especially when you're in man coverage. I mean, it's they're going to throw the ball out there, and it's you versus him. And Jerome Henderson does a fantastic job of coaching these guys, and he can tell you all about the techniques. When I was coaching secondary in Arizona, we were number two in the league in pass defense, and I just said cover them. So I don't know. Maybe there's more to it now than that, I guess, but. You really have to get, lock them down and do a great job. And that's the way it is.
Did you have some kind of personal thing with Trent Edwards? Did he say something about your defense in the past or anything that I don't know about?
Mary Kay, I think you might be right there. I don't know. I respect the game. Love the players in this game. They can say whatever they want to say.
Oakland. When you were the Raiders,
we played him last year. He did a good job.
Can we look it up?
Sure.